You're listening to Talk Radio X, the talk of mobility.
Everybody be cool, this is a robbery!
Any of you fucking pricks move! And I'll execute every motherfucking last one of you!
Hey there, buddy. Need a friend? Yeah, me too. Wow.
She's a beauty, ain't she?
Yeah. What kind of gun is this?
That's a tranquilizer gun. If any of these little fuckers decide to freak out on the kids, I get to take them down.
Ain't that right, mother?
Oh, what?
That's what I thought. Shut up.
Hey, be careful with that. That's the most powerful trank gun on the market.
Huh.
Got her in Mexico.
Cool.
Yeah, it is cool. They say it can puncture the skin of a rhino from a...
Ow! Oh! Yes! That's awesome!
What?
You just took one in the jugular, man! Whoa! Yes!
Oh my god, I did. Is this bad?
You should pull that out. That shit is not cool. Wait. Pull what out?
The dart, man. Got a fucking dart in your neck. You're crazy, man. You're crazy. I like you, but you're crazy.
America, I want you to know that before I'm an American, I'm a Britney fan.
I want to tell you something. America will never, ever forget you. Chris Crocker, everyone.
Yes, it's ladies' night, and the feeling's right. Oh, yes, it's ladies' night. Oh, what a night. Oh, yes, it's ladies' night. Ooh. Romantic lady, single baby, sophisticated mama. Come on, you disco. Mama. Yes, it's ladies' night. Oh, what a night. Chaka Khan.
Thank you. This is Jimmy Moore saying that ain't no sock in my garage.
Maybe later, after the show. Okay.
Huh? Hey, everybody, it's me, the J-Strom, here from the Pop Culture District of Mulberry. Welcome to the show. It's Friday. It is time for Mulberry here on Talk Radio X, live. And with me, I don't do this alone. It's not a solo affair. I also have Steven, the Pop Culture Zealot, to my left. How are you doing, Steven?
Doing just fine today, thanks.
I hope you had a fantastic week.
Well, started off good, but, you know, it's all work, but this is all fun.
Hey, so. It's going to get all better from here on out, Steven. I promise you that. Hey, we also have here Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry Historian. Hi, Bill.
Shaka Khan.
How you doing, Bill?
I'm good.
Now, Bill, you getting sick of me? This is our fourth show in a row.
I could never get sick of you.
Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, now Friday. I kind of like the nighttime shows better.
I do too.
We've started doing a lunchtime show, but the whole idea is we don't prepare, Stephen. Basically, I run to the computer, and then we start the show. Foggy's got it all set up at the food court, and we're all ready to go. But there's hardly any prep we do. We just don't have time for it. I try to do it in the morning while I'm brushing my teeth, bookmark some things, but this show is more structured where I know what we're going to talk about. So, but one thing is, Bill, we had my dad on the lunchtime show, which was really sweet.
Yeah, on Wednesday we did.
It was fun to have him on.
I guess I listened to Thursday's show last night. That's what I was listening for your, I was listening to hear your father, you know, I was wanting to,
yeah. Well,
not that I didn't want to hear you two guys either, but you were telling me, but your dad was on.
You get to hear us all the time. Yeah, I mean, you want somebody new.
I know you guys' opinions.
Actually, yesterday's show, Bill and I were kind of like, man, dude, I got nothing. What the hell are we going to talk about?
Yeah, it was hard yesterday.
It was like just a phone conversation is what it was.
Yeah, I was real tired. I listened to it, and I don't remember listening to the end, but I know
I fell asleep.
Yeah.
No, I was tired. It was
a long week.
It wasn't you guys.
We had a phone bit set up ready to go, and that didn't work because of technical problems. So it's kind of like, okay, we got nothing. Let's just talk about stuff. But we got that all worked out now. And, in fact, we have a new phone number to Mulberry, straight to the station, and we're going to unveil that a little bit later. But first, we're going to get some other things out of the way. Now, on our lunchtime show, my dad wanted to know if we asked for donations to our show. And I said, well, not really. We have a donation box.
We would
on
like
the site.
A laptop desk.
Yeah.
But
basically, I said, no, we don't really go, hey, if you guys want to donate to us, go ahead. And he couldn't believe that. And it was funny. After that show, what do we get, Bill? We get a donation.
Nice. From your father?
From listener Trey. One of our listeners, his name is Trey. He donated $20 to the Mulberry Fund.
Wow.
How sweet is that? He said that
generous.
He's always wanted to donate to us, just nothing to kick him in the ass. And finally, after that show, he did. And he loves the show. In fact, he said that Steven is his favorite.
Wow.
Steven, you crack
he
him
said,
up.
He said, I read the little note you sent, the email he sent.
Yeah, I forwarded it to you so you could see.
And he said, I've started coming up, I guess. I've started speaking out more.
Yeah.
Yes, you are.
But, I mean, it's great that there's people out there. I mean, Bill, I've talked about this with you. There's a couple of shows I listen to where they go, hey, buy us a cup of coffee. If you feel like we're worth it, buy us a cup of coffee. Or buy me a Diet Coke. I don't drink coffee. I'm one of those people who never drinks coffee. So
I'll take an iced coffee.
Yeah, what about you, Stephen? What's your poison?
The old DP.
Vodka.
Dr. Pepper.
When do you drink vodka?
Double penetration.
Whatever.
You like double penetration?
Say what?
Dr. Pepper.
Oh, yeah,
that's a
right.
Southern
You're
thing. DP.
Yeah, we're work safe, Bill. Oh, wait, that's the lunchtime show. Never mind.
Yeah.
We're trying to be work safe, but the whole idea that we're supposed to be, I keep blurting out profanity and... So does Bill.
Yeah, that didn't work out real well on Thursday.
I should have known not to say DP around Bill.
Come on, please. You do the same thing.
I know.
Come on, Bill. You're above that, right? You're better than that.
Above double penetration.
Okay, let's move on. I don't like where the show's going. But anyway, thank you, Trey. Hopefully you don't take that donation back. Hey, maybe, you know, we want to get some T-shirts or something going. People donate. We give them T-shirts or whatever. But go to nowhereinmulberry.com for our donation box and reward us with prizes.
You need to start drawing again, and then we can mail out your drawings. Those are fabulous.
I'll just do stick figures.
Awesome drawings.
Well, thank you, Stephen. Oh, also,
we need to get money for our MAME cabinet for our studio.
MAME cabinet?
Yeah, so that we can play Heavy Barrel and Ikari Warriors.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Explain to people what a MAME cabinet is, Bill.
MAME is a emulation software, and you can get ROMs, which are images of the arcade games, and you put them on a computer system that you've designed with with MAME running as a front end or the operating system on top of the operating system, and we can have like an arcade with every game imaginable.
I'm sold. Let's do it. Right here at the studio. We probably never get the show started, though.
No.
Oh, but I want to. We finally sold out, by the way, and we have a Nowhere in Mulberry MySpace page. So if you want to be our friend, go to MySpace and look up Nowhere in Mulberry. It's on nowhereinmulberry.com, linked on there. I don't know. I haven't been into the MySpace thing. I just didn't want to. And
I don't know. I didn't know if it has. Is it out? Is it going out yet?
There's also Facebook. I don't keep up with that stuff.
Friendster.
I really don't care. You know, I just kind of did mine because
it's cool.
Friends on there from high school.
I will look at it every day. Anybody wants to post stuff on it, write us messages or whatever. It's got a list of people we'd like to meet, our heroes. Right now we only have one hero on there.
Eddie Deason.
Hero Nakamura.
You gotta put Eddie.
Seth MacFarlane on there. Yeah, Philip Swan. No, he's not a hero. He's just
Getty Watanabe.
Yeah, Getty Watanabe. Like I said, it's not filled out yet, so we're compiling.
Let's compile a list.
What's the Chinese guy's name from Revenge of the Nerds? I like that guy. Hair pie?
Takashi? Tashi Toshiro?
What the fuck is a frush?
Yeah, I love that guy. I wonder what happened to that guy anyway. Now, guys, let's go ahead and get into some serious stuff, okay? Barry Manilow is going to be on The View. And apparently he decided he didn't want to because of Elizabeth Hasselbeck, or whatever. And before I get into this, Bill, I forgot it was your birthday yesterday. Steven didn't have a chance to say happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday, Bill.
Thank you, Steven.
Getting old there?
Yes, I am.
It's still your birthday.
Well, I'm still the oldest.
No, it's
not.
It's your birthday till Sunday. That's the way I do it.
It is?
Yeah. Only when it's my birthday. Hey, it's still my birthday. The week's not over yet.
It's a birthday week.
My birthday's like Hanukkah, all right?
Mine was a birthday week last week. I mean, last August.
It lasts a whole week, right?
Well, I take the week off for vacation.
Oh, I gotcha.
But I don't feel anyone should work on their birthday.
I made Bill work overtime for his birthday. It's like,
yeah, I had to work on the lunchtime show.
Hey, but it's fun, right?
Yeah, it is.
And now that we got our phone lines up, we'll be taking phone calls. You know, people, you got personal issues with your relationship or something. We're here to help.
Yeah, we're going to be like love lines.
Yeah, we're going to help you out in anything we can. If you can't remember the name of that one actor, we'll try to help you. But let's go ahead and get into Barry Manilow.
I strongly disagree with her views. I think she's dangerous and offensive. I will not
this
be on
Barry
the same
Manilow?
Stage as her. I had made a request that I be interviewed by Joy, Barbara, or Whoopi, but
I always
not
thought
Elizabeth
he was getting
Hasselbeck.
More like a female every
the show
year.
Is not willing to accommodate this simple request, so
starting to look
I
like Carol
out.
Burnett.
Barbara Walters and The View's executive producer, Bill Getty, retaliated.
Or I'll do Whoopi and Sherry, or I'll do what some combination, but I won't sit with Elizabeth. And I said, well, then you won't be on the show. It's that simple.
Oh.
There was a request made when Barry was coming on, made by someone in his camp asking that he not have to sit with Elizabeth. He didn't mind sitting with other people. He didn't want to sit with Elizabeth.
Is it the pregnancy? What is it?
Oh,
is it
Stephen,
Barbara and Bill.
He didn't want to be
know,
the one with
Barbara
the most estrogen
Barbara and Bill
there.
Made a decision yeah. that has stood from the beginning of The View. If you don't sit with one, you sit with none.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah.
We've had liberals and Republicans, and we service everybody.
Yes, I beg your pardon.
Yeah, we don't make those kinds of distinctions. I know there's a lot of talk, and everybody's made some peace. And Barry's going to come, and he's going to be with us at some point. It wasn't yesterday. It wasn't today. It will happen in the future.
We operate, I think, as courageous today and love one another through our differences, not despite them.
Mandy.
And I think that's a wonderful thing.
Oh, Mandy. So basically, Barry Manilow got in the news this week. Good for him, right? Hey, good job, buddy.
Nobody must be coming to his Vegas show.
Have you guys ever seen, they have this, he has this group of elderly women that clean off his, they squeegee off his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame every day. And they wear shirts with his face on it, like they're Barry's girls or something. Wow. And they're like not in 80s and 90s. Awesome. Now,
do they realize that he's gay, or do they not care?
They just love that set of pipes he's got. He's got a beautiful voice.
I hear a lot of men love his pipe.
I made it through the rain. Blah-da-dee-da-da.
He writes the songs that make the whole world sing?
Yes, exactly.
And that's it for the repertoire we know.
Yeah, that's about it.
Copacabana.
All right, I'm stopping right now. We got a voicemail from Swiley, a regular listener. We love him. He gives great feedback, by the way, on our forum. And I love it. Very detailed analysis of the show. Don't you think, Bill?
His is, I always look forward to his feedback because he has pictures and commentary.
Yeah, it's great. He could do, Swiley, nowhere in Mulberry Wikipedia entry. He could be the editor of it because we can't do it. By the official rules, we can't start it. We're members of the show. Somebody else has to do it.
Okay.
Do you think everyone adheres to that rule, Bill?
No.
What's that one guy, the podcast guy? Didn't he get caught editing his?
Adam Curry?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What did he do, change his age?
He changed, like, the history of podcasting or something. This is old news.
He changed it so that he made it.
Yeah.
It was only him.
I'm going to change it where I did it. All right, guys, let's check out Swiley's voicemail.
Hey, Mulberrians, it's Swiley. How you doing? Last week, you had a discussion on Scarface, I think. And you were asking what the Spanish translation of "Say hello to my little friend" would be.
Yeah.
Okay, here it is.
Saludate mi parte, mi amigo Tata.
Did you catch that? Okay, what he says is, "Saludate mi parte, a mi amigo Sosa." In other words, say hello to my friend Sosa for me. Sosa is the big-time Bolivian drug lord whose henchmen are sent to kill Tony. So it's interesting that in the Spanish translation, he tells them to say hello to his enemy on his behalf, not say hello to his little grenade launcher. Anyway, Scarface is pretty much the gangster equivalent to Boondock Saints, you know, highly overpraised, violent malarkey. I think so.
I wouldn't go that
comment.
Far. Okay.
Leave family guy alone right now.
Hello? Okay. Well, you know what? We'll leave Family Guy alone, okay? I wish I had never made those comments because we have gotten feedback. Apparently everyone loves feedback.
Family Guy.
Everyone loves Family Guy, Steven, besides you, right?
Right. There's other fans out there. And like I said, there's...
I won't change my mind about it.
I said that there were heavy-handed episodes towards, you know, pop culture references.
Right.
Yeah, like then, every episode.
Yeah. Well, not every.
Yeah. Oh, wait. No. Yeah.
Not really
not,
every.
I understand.
The majority?
Not every, but,
you want me to say the majority of every episode?
But
there
here,
you
here's
go.
The problem. It's jaded me where I can't. Tune in to see, hey, maybe this won't have all the reference horse shit on this episode. Maybe it'll be a good one. And I can understand sometimes there might be a reference that makes sense other than, hey, I really
just a
like,
reference for reference
I
sake.
Love Ferris Bueller. Let's have a scene from Ferris Bueller in this, you know, something like that.
Or the episode where the large stupid son falls into the aha video.
Right.
Yeah.
What was that for?
No idea. Absolutely nothing.
I mean,
just so they could put it in.
I don't remember. I mean,
he was.
You know.
They were at a grocery store.
Oh, yeah, because he went to get some milk and he fell into the counter and fell into an aha video.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and go. Family Guy sucks. All right, I take it all back. Oh, good times. Hey guys, what do you say we get into entertainment? Let's do it. No more Family Guy talk.
You're the one who starts it.
It's dead to me. All right, Bill, a few movies came out this week, but One comes out next week that I've already seen called The Kingdom, directed by...
Yeah, and you're a prick.
Peter Berg. I'm sorry, Bill. It was a sneak preview.
Did you get to go, Steven?
No, sir.
Okay, you're not a
prick. I'm not a prick.
But Peter Berg directed it, who also directed Friday Night Lights, and he also created the TV show.
Yes, and he was also in Aspen Extreme and Corky Romano.
Yes, he's a fantastic actor as well. Nice. He was also in Shocker, I think is the first movie I ever saw.
Yeah.
That's an awesome flick.
Oof. I'll never forget the box art for that.
With the guy Mitch Pileggi, like, electrocuted. But I'm not going to say a lot about The Kingdom other than I think it's probably the best movie I've seen this year. It's fantastic. Just great. And in fact, us being fans of Friday Night Lights, I already told you this, Bill, on the lunchtime show, but there are scenes in it that remind you of Friday Night Lights. It's hard to say. Explosions in the Sky doesn't do the music, I don't believe. Danny Elfman does.
Oh, really?
But it's almost as if Peter Berg said, hey, have you heard of Explosions in the Sky? Maybe you could do a soundtrack like that. And he's like, okay, why'd you get me to do the movie? But it's a fantastic film.
Maybe this will get him recognized by...
There's a couple of great Friday Night Light people in it. I won't spoil it for you. You just got to see the movie. Yeah, you'll see some Friday Night Lights people in
some
the
faces,
flick.
Some familiar faces.
And it's literally like, oh, like I looked at Heather and we were like, oh, that's who that, uh-huh, yeah, good stuff.
Cool.
But also, what's this new flick that's come out? I'm blanking. What came out today? Let's see. What do we got? We got Sydney White. Saw that.
Which you saw.
Sneak preview also. Hey, that's what we get for doing live radio. They're like, hey, we need a word of mouth out there. Would you like to go see Sydney White?
How about that they spread the love?
Yeah. Now, there's this film called Mulberry Street coming out, Bill. And I really think we should get behind this one. It's about killer rats in New York on Mulberry Street. Have you heard about
nice.
That? I think we talked about this like 2 years ago.
Killer zombie rats?
I don't know. I saw a review of it. It said it was incredible. It was like almost like they gave it like Night of the Living Dead good. Like, love the name though.
Yeah, good name. Can't beat
I know that
name.
That the assassination of Jesse James by the coward Robert Ford opened in limited release this.
Now what is that?
Today.
What's going on with that? Good word of mouth, or
yeah, really good word of mouth. They're saying it's the best Western from the 70s they've ever seen. So it's
really,
yeah, they're saying it's like really reminiscent of the 70s Westerns that we got. So I'm really looking forward to it, but it's not open anywhere near me.
The Sean Penn movie, is that opening this weekend?
Yeah, Into the Wild. That's
oh,
the wild.
Yeah. Release. Is that another limited release flick?
Yeah.
That Emil Hirsch guy kind of gets on my nerves.
Yeah,
then
same here.
I saw a review on it. They said it was really good, and he did a really good job on
Sean
it.
Sean Penn's an incredible director. I love The Indian Runner.
Album that Eddie Vedder did for Into the Wild is tremendous. I got it off of iTunes this morning and listened to it, and it's really, really good.
I'm not an Eddie Vedder fan, so what else came out?
See, I'm a kid from the 90s. I like Pearl Jam.
Oh, God. Don't get me started.
What about...
move on.
The Resident Evil. Is that next weekend or this weekend?
No, that's this weekend.
Oh, hey, I want to see that.
Another Resident.
So,
another renter.
So, Bill, if you could get it somehow, we'll check it out. If you know what I mean. Now, something great comes on TV this weekend that I'm really excited about, and that is... Ken Burns, who did the Civil War documentary, he's done a World War II documentary, and it's called The War. Right, Bill?
Yeah. He also did Baseball, which was really good.
Right. I still haven't seen Baseball, but it's coming on PBS Sunday night, and it's about World War II, and I believe it's an HD, Bill.
Yeah, it's a 16-part series.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is it 16 nights in a row or 16 Sundays in a row?
Probably 16 Sundays. They normally drag those things out as long as possible.
On PBS, it'll probably replay like the first night Sunday and Monday.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to look at the TiVo, but I'm really excited about that. Just that guy, his I almost wish that guy would do documentaries on everything I'm interested in. You know?
Yeah, I'm getting my DVR hooked up tomorrow.
Sweet.
I want him to do a documentary about classic gaming.
Yeah, or, hey, Firefly, maybe?
No.
Hey, Bill, what was with Eugene never showed up to the show yesterday? I don't know. Steven, I forgot to tell you this, but Eugene is doing our traffic and weather on the lunchtime show. Just totally no
show. Maybe he got caught in the traffic.
I've regretted that decision every day since I... It's just kind of that... He's like almost like Fogel in Superbad. You just kind of feel sorry for him a little, you know?
Except he has a helicopter.
Yeah. I'm not even sure he's in a helicopter. It's like you said, it sounds like an idling moped.
Yeah, I think it is.
Nice. Yeah,
he just kind of zooms in between the traffic.
Let's go ahead and give a shout-out to our chat room, nimchat.com. Hey, Don Chep, Glenn, Credo. I see Henley just signed in. Who else we got there? Hey, it's like Romper Room. We've got Don Chep, and I see Glenn, and I see Credo, and I see Henley. How's it going, everybody? Oh, I see that comic books. That would be a cool documentary, too, like the history of comic books. I guess.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, let's go ahead and get into what's on our TiVos. And the reason everything's kind of sped up a little, I'm saving time for our phone lines. That's coming up. Sweet.
Oh, and I think I got it wrong. The war is in 7 parts, but it's 16 hours.
Wow. Man.
Yeah.
You know what? You know how I'm excited about it right now? You're going to say, hey, did you catch part 8? And I'm like, dude, I lost interest a long time ago.
Yeah.
So let's go ahead and get on to our TiVos. All right, we have a few premieres this week and a lot of premieres next week that we'll get to. We saw a couple of them, like Chuck and Bionic Woman. Did you see any of the other NBC ones, Bill?
Just those two? I watched the Friday Night Lights season premiere.
Oh, now where is that available?
That's available on Yahoo's Fall TV preview page.
Okay, see. Well, I'm going to watch it a little bit closer to premiere. It comes out in October, right? I'll watch it before next week's show. How's that?
Friday, August 5th, I believe, is the premiere date.
Right, right. Okay, so the Emmys happened. Do you guys remember that? That was a while back.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel the
real
same way.
Real yawner.
Our buddy, the only person I was rooting for to win, Johnny Drama, did not win. Jeremy Piven did. That's cool. At least it's for the same show, I guess. But... let's see. Who else won?
The chick from Grey's Anatomy.
It seems like... Is Ugly Betty the darling of Hollywood?
Yeah.
And it's quite possibly the worst show ever.
See, I've never seen it, but it's not...
I know has its fans, but I just...
I'm not the demographic.
It's that cutesy comedy.
I'm not the demographic. I'm not going to watch it.
I think 30-year-old women are the demographic.
Right. 30-year-old or...
Yeah.
Yeah.
30-year-old...
Push up a little...
Ugly Duckling.
Maybe 35.
I don't know. It's probably a show for women. I'll say that. Hey, you know what? I'm going to check it out. I'm going to watch it before next week's show. How's that? I'm going to tell you if it deserved the Emmy. Like, I know.
You don't.
I don't, because obviously we don't know what shows deserve Emmys because the ones we want to don't get nominated.
The ones that
deserve
it...
Yeah, we shouldn't belong to the... American Film Television Academy. So
the best thing about it, though, is the pre-show interviews. They have people walking in, and they have this train wreck of Joey Fat One and Lisa Rinna. Is that his name, Fat One?
Fatone.
Oh, yeah. Joey. Fatone and Lisa Rinna interviewing people before they go inside. And they're new at it. They're not good at it. But here they're talking to Eva Longoria. Let's check it out.
How are y'all doing?
We're good.
We just started.
You just started.
Am I first?
Yeah.
Oh, am I first?
Well,
just about.
The third.
Like, yeah, well, the third. Sorry.
I'll be honest. I ain't gonna lie. The third.
Yeah. Ask me something good.
Let's ask you something good.
Oh, have sex with Tony. Oh. Well, okay. Okay.
Let's get right to it.
What?
Yeah, it is great.
And he's a very tall man. Very tall man.
And of course he's a great lover.
Well, we weeded at.
Okay, wow. Now I'm speechless. And now we have nowhere to go. That was
after
it.
That question.
Good times.
Ooh, well, at least they're having fun, right?
Wow.
That was quite possibly the worst thing I've ever heard.
That was,
now,
that
picture
was
that for an hour before the Emmys. No wonder it had such low ratings. No one could stick around to watch it.
That's the only thing on that blue-out-lipped-faced lady's mind is sex.
Apparently. She was great on that episode of Entourage.
Yeah.
You see who she's married to.
She's married to Perseus from Clash of the Titans. Guy's a genius. Now, guys, Justin Timberlake was on Oprah this week, and
I missed it?
Yeah, we didn't want to hear about his music, his new album, anything like that. We wanted to hear about Britney. And fortunately, Oprah, she asked him about it. Let's check it out.
I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't ask the Britney question. And so...
What question is that?
Okay. What do you think is going on with Britney?
I don't know, to be honest with you. I haven't spoken to her in years.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, there's no ill will.
Spit it out.
I have nothing but love for her. And we had... It's funny because we dated each other at a time. Mm-hmm. I haven't
spit
talked
it
about
out.
This
Come
a long
on.
Time.
Come on.
Interesting. But, we,
but
we
you've had... never talked about it to me, so
well,
it's okay.
Hey. Okay. Let's get it in,
let's
girl.
Let's get it in.
We were teenagers, you know, and
yeah,
and
famous teenagers,
yeah,
famous
and I think
stuttering
that,
teenagers,
that's basically the best way to describe
really good
what happened to us, and I think she's a great person, and I don't know her as well as I did. I don't know, to be honest with you. I haven't. I mean,
all right, get it over. It's done.
It's funny because
it's funny.
It's
fucking hilarious.
You might as well ask me what I thought about her.
What do you think, Steven?
So he hasn't talked to her in a while.
Well,
is what he's
you
trying
know,
to say.
I haven't talked to her in a few years either myself, but oh geez.
Wow, that was a great interview. But the best thing about TV this week, Trump was on Deal or No Deal.
Hello.
Oh, God.
Who is this?
Yeah, like Howie
this
didn't know.
This is not the banker. This is...
Howie, okay, it's Donald Trump.
I am so honored to be with New York.
The Joey Behar.
For those of you just joining us, your whole dream tonight is to get back home to New York. Right? In this case, it's worth.
So, Howie, what I'm going to do.
What are you going
to
do?
Nothing to do with the show because the show's not allowed to do it.
Right.
I'm going to write the son, Dominic, a check for $25,000.
I'm sorry I missed that.
Where she grabbed her...
What? What is he talking about?
Hey,
she
Bill, you're
overexcited.
You'll know. Did that sound like Marianne from Brooklyn?
Yeah, it did. Or someone related to Antwerp.
It's a Stern kind of thing.
Yeah, it's definitely a New Yorker accent. Now, I don't know if you guys have watched Inside the Actor's Studio with James Lipton. It's an incredible show.
I can't believe that's still on the air.
He had
at this point, he's interviewing, you know, the most ridiculous people. Rob Schneider.
I believe it's Sir Charlie Sheen was on the show. Hasn't he been knighted? He was on the show.
Charlie Sheen in 1989 did a remarkable film with his brother, Emilio Estevez.
I believe he was a great interview. He was a great interview. Let's check it out.
Did Stone ever discuss his view with you, what he wanted out of that film?
He wanted to incorporate his personal experiences through my character.
You were Stone.
In Platoon?
Yeah.
Not all the time.
But sometimes.
Stone or stoned?
Stone.
Absolutely, yeah.
Oliver Stone.
Yeah, no, I was him every time. Absolutely.
Would you like to expand on what you just told me?
Well, you know, come on, we're in the Philippines.
Really.
It was 86, you know. Yeah, geez. Just kind of stepped in it there, didn't I?
So that's a great show. Check it out.
Now, did he talk to him about Men at Work, which was his landmark film?
Of course. He gets to all the films.
There was a scene in Men at Work where a bag of shit exploded out of a locker. What was your feelings? How did you get into that frame of mind for that scene?
You know, that's one of those guilty pleasure movies. If it's on, I'm like, I'll watch it. Why not?
I saw that at the drive-in with my dad. Double feature, Men at Work, Alien 3.
Steven, I think you and I rented that in the 90s sometime.
I'm like, sure.
We've seen it. It's there on the shelf. Let's rent it.
I remember Ticks.
Ticks. That's for another time, my friend. Now, let's talk about Chuck real quick. Chuck and Bionic Woman, we watched both of those, Bill. Now, Chuck I really liked. It's about a nerdy guy who apparently has government secrets and everyone's after him in the pilot. But it's got likable characters. It's a lot of fun. And yeah. I'll tell you right now, this is why I fell in love with the show immediately, Bill.
What do we got here?
What is it? Zork. Remember Zork, the old text-based video game? Well, Bryce and I programmed our own version of it back at Stanford using a TRS-80.
Wow, you guys are really cool.
Yeah, if I could only remember what was in my hero's satchel. The weapons that I would use to kill the terrible troll.
Right. You know what? You're still really cool.
And you're going home.
Is it that time?
It's that time.
Right. So anything that mentions TRS-80 or an old text-based game, I'd say it's worth it.
Yeah.
And the show's
a good show.
It's a lot of fun. It's got likable characters. Adam Baldwin's on the show, too. It's got an older looking guy who looks a lot like Seth Green with brown hair, I thought.
Yeah, he's, I don't know yet if he's the comic relief or if he's just there.
He cracked me up a little bit. I mean, the show's got potential. It's definitely
does.
It's getting a season pass for sure.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to what they do with it.
And I like the actor who plays Chuck. I have no idea who he is, but he's a very likable guy. He's funny. So I like it. And I don't know who the blonde girl is either, but they've got chemistry. I'm going to say right now, you'll like Chuck. Check it out. Be there.
He's got some potential.
Now, Bill, you saw Bionic Woman before me, and it was funny. You told me what you thought of it, and I was saying, don't tell me what you thought of it, because I'd rather us both come fresh, but unfortunately I knew what you thought of it while I was watching it.
Yeah.
Now, why don't you talk about Bionic Woman first? Let's see what you thought of it.
Where do you want me to start? Just what I thought of it?
Yeah, say the show just ended. What was the first words out of your mouth?
suck.
Okay.
Maybe. I just didn't like it. I thought it was really poorly written, horribly directed. The music was awful. The storyline was cliched. I didn't like it at all. I thought it was very unoriginal. And for a remake, I mean, granted, you can only be so original, but they try so hard to be original or to set themselves apart from the original that it's just
like... Well,
they've
got to set it with modern-day kind of technology.
Yeah, but they put modern-day technologies in it, and then they beat you over the friggin' head with them. It's just, it's too much. They need to pull back a little bit. Not worry about the special effects because they look horrible, and just start to concentrate on the story.
Well, that's one thing going in. Most TV effects suck. They're not great.
And the pilot, they don't have much money to do the effects with anyways, right?
The special effects in this episode of Bionic Woman are so bad, they make Smallville look
I'm going to say you're exaggerating there. They're not that bad.
Dude,
they're Smallville.
When she is running...
They're on the level of Smallville.
When she is running through the forest, Smallville does that about a billion times better.
Hey,
she looks like a gigantic blob.
Oh, it has character. Come on. Now, I like the cast, though. I like Miguel Ferrer. Starbucks in it. She plays the evil Bionic Woman. They gave her some really bad dialogue to say.
The evil Bionic Woman.
There's a part where they're fighting. She goes, time out. and she lights a cigarette. And when she's done with her cigarette, she goes, time in. And then they go back to fighting.
She has to expand on the fact that the special nanobots in their lungs clean the tar for them.
That was okay. You're being a little bit cynical about this. I don't think it's as bad as you're saying it is.
It's bad.
Now, I think that it was cool how basically her boyfriend repairs her when she's in a horrible accident. He works for the government doing bionic stuff. And he explains that the science is much more advanced than we let the public believe. I thought that was kind of a cool idea there.
Well, that's the only way they could explain it.
Yeah.
Be in the this modern age.
Okay, Bill, what if I tell you this? The pilot was already made when they hired Jason Smolovic and they hired Jason Kadams from Friday Night Lights.
I would say thank God, because somebody realized how awful the pilot was and said, we need to get some real writers in here.
See, what you're doing now, Bill, you're making it sound so bad, people are going to watch it and go, you know, it's not that bad.
Well, you know what? Good. Good. I hope they do, and I hope they like it and they give it a chance, because with some real writers on board, I think it could get good.
Right. I mean, the episode, I got to tell you right now, it's all set up. The whole reason the pilot exists, of course, is to introduce us to Jamie Summers, give her bionics, and then set up that the government, this agency, now has her to do stuff, go on missions or whatever. I think instead of Bionic Woman, they should have looked at Alias. Like, let's do Alias, only she's bionic. Something like that. Yeah. I don't know.
She could hack systems. She doesn't need a whole crew.
Right. Well,
I think the woman they chose for the Bionic Woman is a little too wide-eyed. Maybe she'll get better as the series continues, if it's allowed to. But right. I wasn't really impressed with her acting abilities.
I thought Miguel Ferrer was the best thing about the whole show.
Well, he's always good in stuff
he
does.
Yeah, he always nails it.
I always like
him. He's always good. And
like, he was really good in that that Stephen King movie he did called Night Flyer. Did you ever see that?
Yeah,
I did.
He was really good in that.
That's a weird movie. That movie's got a huge creepy factor to it.
Yeah.
But anyway, okay, Bionic Woman. I'm going to say go in, watch it. I'm definitely going to watch the next episode.
I'll give it a chance. I'm not going to not watch it.
Okay, Mel, Bionic Woman, the new Flash Gordon. You have to choose one.
Oh, holy crap. That's like Sophie's Choice, except they're both awful.
Okay, Bill.
I'll
add in a third option.
I would have to go with Bionic Woman, because it has more potential than the new, you know, Flash.
Okay, Bill, Bionic Woman or America's Top Model. How many seasons of the show is there going to be? My God.
Hi, I'm Janet. I'm 22 years old, and I'm from the small town of Bainbridge, Georgia. And we just got a Walmart. All right.
We did Mulberry, too.
How do you do, like, a wax? You have to get in this one, like this. Just like this. You got to get the crack up. You got to spread the cheeks and just make sure it's available. I guess once you've seen one butt, you've seen them all, you know? Okay.
Right up close.
Ain't that the truth? Seriously, what is this, the 10th season of the show?
It was cool that she kind of put herself out there. Here, rip it by the way. Did I turn you out?
Well, I was, yeah, hey.
Any
hey.
Girl that gives me a simulated kitty cat wax is fine with me.
Can you,
what the
can
hell
you please
is going
take
on?
Tyra Banks off my TV. Just please.
You know
she's
what?
She's got like two shows now, right? She's got her talk show and
but
this
I think
one.
As soon as this show season, I believe she's working like on three seasons at a time of this show.
If people donate to our show, we will then use the money to hire a killer for Tyra Banks.
Okay, guys, a new comic, a last comic standing was named.
A new last comic standing.
I just
want
to ask you this. Do you guys care?
No, but who was it?
It was this guy. I'll play the clip. But he does an impression of a referee at a football game, and it doesn't really come through visually or phonically, audio-wise. And I thought it was horrible, and yet he won. And you know the guy he was up against was Lavelle. That big,
oh, really?
The big chubby guy? Yeah. I don't get it.
This is my impression of every professional football referee that you'll ever see in your life. Wake up, leg, Aber. Time it!
Huh?
All right, ready? Here it goes.
What?
John Reap. Congratulations, John. You are the last time to stand it.
Wow, it must have had a really bad season.
You know what?
I'm having a little bit of difficulty.
Richard Jenny did that same bit 15 years ago, and it was actually funny. So congratulations to this guy from stealing material from a dead person and making it unfunny.
He stole it from the platypus, man. I want
yes,
a recount on these votes. That Lavelle
fact,
guy was hilarious.
In fact, that bit was used in the Platypus Man special on HBO. So there you go.
Wow. That's not good.
So he thought he saw the Platypus Man and thought he wrote this.
Why are you breathing so hard?
That guy should have won.
He should have. We need the large comics, like John Candy, Chris Farley, those guys, those comedic actors. Yeah, God, I miss Louis Anderson.
Yeah, Louis Anderson kind of completely changed whenever he came out. Then it just became gross.
Wait, what? Wait a second. Louis Anderson came out of the closet.
Yeah,
I gotta go, you guys. Just.
See what I mean?
Wow, just took the wind out of my sails. No, hey, more power to him. I didn't even know he was still alive to be gay. Okay, guys, Bill, Kid Nation, did you get to see it, Steven?
No.
You did, Bill, because we talked about it on the lunchtime show. We'll just briefly go over it again because I know so far the ratings on the lunchtime show, we're getting like Firefly-type ratings. We're hoping they'll pick up a little bit. So you guys remember, lunchtime, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, 12 Central. Tune in to Talk Radio X and you'll hear us. Let's get those ratings up, people. I'm kidding. They're through the roof. But let's go ahead and check out this clip, Bill, and you explain it, okay?
All right.
The reward is going to be a choice. Ooh. So which reward will you choose? Seven more outhouses or this? A TV that you can watch whenever you want. Outhouses or a television set.
I totally go for the TV, man.
If you have a TV, when are they going to have time
just
to actually watch
pants.
The TV? It's just better to get rid of it so that we don't have no distractions from the essential work needed to build a city.
Yeah, right. And we need more outhouses.
But also, you look at the fact, the TV, like, people just something to do.
I'm dying now because I'm like, I want to watch TV now.
What's it going to be?
We made a quick decision that... You
guys are
gonna have outhouses!
We got the porta potties! Yeah!
Oh, hell yeah!
Never have kids been so excited to go to the bathroom.
Now, Bill, who is that kid at the end there? The one who said,
we got the porta potties! Yeah!
That was Jared, quite possibly the goofiest bastard I've ever seen on television. they won. They have like survivor type competitions, and that was their reward if they all finished the competition within 30 minutes.
Right.
But you know what? It's not a great show. It's not a good
It's also the first episode, but there was enough to intrigue you to come back.
Yeah, and you know what? I just like the kids because they're, you know. They seem real. I want to say that they're real. You know, they're not actors. They're
this isn't like the two Corys scripted type of thing, right?
No. And you like you felt so bad for this one kid because he was the youngest one there. He's 8 and a half, majorly homesick. And they would always find him hiding, crying because he wanted to go home.
Right.
And you just felt so bad for the kid. And you could just tell that that was real. And he had to hate... that he had to hide to cry because the cameramen were always on him.
Yeah, that sucks too.
But I want to watch
it. Yeah, you know, I wanted to watch it. I didn't know when it was coming on.
The only thing I could compare this to when I was a kid is there's a place called the Outdoor Learning Center.
I've been there myself.
I was there for a weekend, like 2 days. Yeah. And it was I've never been to summer camp. That's the closest thing I got to. But it is kind of terrifying. All of a sudden, you're away from your family. You're sleeping in bunk beds. You're having to shower with other kids.
I had a good time. I really didn't
get it.
You shouldn't have said that right after the shower comment.
I had a really good time.
Sorry, so juvenile of me.
The one that terrified me was this giant turkey that chased me. Nice. There.
You know, the funny thing is I had a Spider-Man book where he's versus Dr. Octopus. And nobody else thought to bring any reading material. And I remember it was like, hey, man, can I borrow that? And, like, my Spider-Man book got passed around the entire, like, dormitory area. And I was just like, I just want my Spider-Man book back. But
I went to summer camp, but it was church camp. And I was, like, 9 years old, maybe eight. I was way too young to go to camp. And I just didn't know what to do. I was like a deer in the headlights for...
You've seen one, but you've seen them all, you know?
Yikes. for 3 days. And then when my older sister got sick and my parents had to come to take her home. And when I heard my parents were there, I was just like, oh my God, I'm going home! I went running.
Did they make you stay?
No, they let me go.
Oh,
so
thank God. That would have been sad.
You're staying! You're gonna wait it out. No, I got to leave, and I just I hated it. I hated it. It was horrible.
Wow. Yeah. I'm glad.
So I can feel for these kids that are like missing home.
Yeah, but they're on a TV show.
But they've got to be there for 40 days.
Right. That's pretty crazy.
That's a long time.
I'm gonna check it out. I believe it's on CBS.com. I'm gonna check it out.
And no, Credo, it wasn't Jesus Camp.
That would have been great.
I can't even remember one time while I was at that summer camp. That
Bible study.
Here's the scam. Yeah. Okay, here's what camp is. I don't care if it's computer camp, fat camp, Jesus camp, whatever. The parents need to get rid of their kids for a while. That's what it's about. And
you swim, you get yelled at for being out too late.
Right.
You watch the counselors do things that you don't quite understand yet.
Like, what? Those are tiny cigarettes they're smoking behind the dormitory.
Exactly.
All right, guys, let's go ahead and talk about Big Brother. It was the big finale of Big Brother. Here's a little clip that encapsulates things. Can we please just hear the America's Player music one more time?
One of you has a secret. One of you has not been playing the game alone.
Hey, guys. I'm the big secret twist of Big Brother 8. I'm called America's Player.
You're also a douchebag.
What that means is all summer long, I've been secretly playing this game for the viewers. Every
week,
America voted.
I got the feeling everyone was like, what is
this
music?
Wow. Someone that I lived with for that long and I didn't know that. I mean, I'm sure he wasn't allowed to tell me, but... I'm just in shock. I can't believe it.
Are you mad at me?
Are you in shock?
No. All season I have not been able to be mad at Eric, and I'm not, so.
You should be. It wasn't his fault.
Congratulations, Dick.
That's just love there.
He's just so hot.
Congratulations again to both of you. You have $500,000. What are you going to do with all that money, Dick?
I'm taking a trip, man. Get the hell out of here.
Oh, yeah, one more time. Ah, masking. Oh, it's never coming back, is it? So,
they should have dropped a bomb on that studio and just cleared the earth of all of them.
Could they have dragged out, filled more time in that finale? They just
so stupid.
But the thing is, when Dick says he's going on a trip, I just hope he quits his job at whatever Kitty Cat Club or wherever. Isn't that what it's called where he works?
Cat House.
The Cat House or whatever.
Ricky Rackman's Cat House.
Yeah, just quit your job. Stop hanging out in bars, dude. Get some culture. Backpack in Europe or something.
Quit spitting.
Did you find it interesting
countries.
They never mentioned the fact that Eric earned 10 grand for each five tasks?
Yes,
completed.
I believe when he was evicted, Julie said he won upwards of 40K.
Yeah, and they didn't mention that at all in the finale.
Yeah,
so
that is interesting.
Do you think he approached like the producer and said, "Listen, I'm really into this girl, but if she finds out,
she's gonna find out anyway."
I don't understand why they didn't mention that.
The best part about it, did you see it, Steven?
No, sir.
When she's talking about there's a secret this season on Big Brother, and the camera's panning around everybody, a big secret. Oh, it sure is a big secret. And they keep panning around, and you see Eric, he just like can't sit still in his chair. He's like so nervous.
Yeah, everyone else is like, oh, a secret?
It's like, what's a secret already, Julie? Come on, spit it out. And then when she says Eric is America's player, and they're just kind of like, oh.
Yeah, it was like, wah, wah, wah.
Wait, thought a minute.
Oh, you know what was funny? Is she said, stay tuned tomorrow for the premiere of Kid Nation. And Danielle kind of goes, like, what the hell's that? And kind of, yeah. That's her reaction. Like, what the hell's that show, Kid Nation? I got to get home and see what shows are on. That's the thing I couldn't stand being in the Big Brother. It's like, TV! I would have missed so many movies in the theater because of this.
I think this is the first year that they didn't give them a movie.
Yeah, you're right. I figured it
last year they gave them Talladega Nights, right?
Yeah, I guess that was more punishment.
Wow.
Come on, that's good. The Highlander. Yeah, won the Academy Award. That's my favorite part. But, okay, let's go ahead and take a break now. We're at the top of the hour here on Talk Radio X, Fridays. And let's take a quick break, and then we're going to come back and open the phone lines, Bill. I have no idea what this is going to be like.
First caller gets Friday Night Lights Season 1 on DVD.
Wow. Well, it'll probably blow up my computer if too many people call at once. So here's what's going to happen. Right now, guys, we've been playing music for every break we do. Mm-hmm. And this song is dedicated to my daughter, okay? So you guys, this is for my 3-year-old daughter, so just bear with me. So we're going to take a little break, and we'll be right back, everybody.
Dinner time. Time to eat.
Mmm! I'm going to eat, yeah! Yummy, yummy, 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 chicken,
yeah!
In my tummy, party, party!
Yeah!
In my tummy, cheese!
Yeah!
In my tummy, party, party!
Yeah!
In my tummy, juice!
Yeah!
In my tummy... Yeah! Now there's a party in my tummy!
So yummy! So yummy!
Now there's a party in my tummy!
So yummy!
Hey, there's a party in my tummy.
So yummy, so yummy.
Now there's a party in my tummy.
So yummy, so yummy, yummy.
Yummy, yummy.
All right, everybody, the phone lines are open. 818-935-5132. 818-935-5132. And we're back! Talk Radio X. Boom goes the dynamite. Right, Bill?
Indeed.
Let's see if anyone calls. Okay, we have our first caller. Let's see who it is. Hello, you're on the air. Welcome to Talk Radio X.
Hi.
Hello.
It's Heather.
Oh, hi. This is my wife, everybody. Hey, you can't win Friday Night Lights on DVD. That's not fair.
I didn't think I'd be the first one to get through. I'll hang up now.
No, wait. What do you think of the show so far? Come on. You can't just go that fast.
It's really funny. It's good.
Okay. Well, thanks for calling in.
Goodbye.
Hey, Bill, can she win the Friday Night Lights box set? Because I'd really like that. Okay, and she's gone.
No, I don't think anyone associated with the show can win.
Yeah, that's always the rules. Now I see why they have that. That wouldn't rule. Hey, guess who wins? My wife! And people at home are like, wait a second, what kind of screw job is that? All right, again, the number is 818, which is San Fernando Valley, by the way, Stephen. 935-5132.
Hey, I haven't worked there yet, so I don't know that area code.
Yeah, we did a whole thing on the lunchtime show about it. It was kind of funny. It was on accident, but it was funny. So what do we do, Bill? Should we just wait and talk on the air until somebody calls? Come on.
I'm surprised. What is wrong with you people?
Come
Get
on.
Some balls.
Don't you want to call? Ask Steven a question. The pop culture zealot. Ask
no, they're busy
Friday
listening. They don't want to get that.
Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry historian.
Anyone? All
right. Fine, you losers.
Come on. You know you want to.
And here you thought that it would get all clogged up.
Yeah, I guess. We'll give people a chance to keep calling. Call in. We're going to go ahead and start the news. And if you decide to call in.
Wait, do you want to? We have one last show we didn't talk about. The Kitchen Nightmares.
Yeah, you're right. I did completely
Holy
skip
crap.
That over.
How did we forget Kitchen Nightmares?
I've been waiting for. I was waiting to talk about this with Bill. I know me and Bill love Gordon Ramsay. And I know Jason
okay.
does.
Hey, anybody.
Jason does too.
Anybody wants to talk about Kitchen Nightmares, call in. Okay. So we're
Gordon Ramsay is a gastronomic god.
And this episode, this premiere episode was phenomenal.
It was hilarious.
They picked the perfect guy. They picked a Guido.
Oh, my God. This guy is such a caricature. It's hilarious.
So basically, I mean, if people don't know, Gordon Ramsay. Oh, wait, we got a phone call. Let's see who this is. Hello, you're on the air. Talk Radio X, Nowhere in Mulberry.
Hey, it's Don Chep.
Don Chep, hey,
hey
buddy.
Hey, Don Chep.
Friend of Nowhere in Mulberry. How you doing, buddy?
All right, how you guys doing?
Fantastic. Good. We're just glad somebody called.
Yes, thank you.
So does that make me, what, caller number 1.5? What?
And you win Friday Night Lights.
Hey, that's awesome.
Have you watched the show?
You know, I actually... I actually have a couple of DVDs here. I haven't watched that I rented. I haven't watched, but I can just go ahead and send them back so someone else can rent them, and I can watch what's owned.
Yes, just send your contact information to nimpodcast@gmail.com, and we will get those out to you this week.
Awesome.
And you have to promise to share it. You got to pass on Friday Night Lights to the world.
That's right. That's right. I will send it on to the masses.
So do you have any questions for Nowhere in Mulberry?
No, you know what? Maybe you guys should go for those 5 lunchtime shows a week, huh?
No. Oh.
Yeah. Right.
Hey, we're
not happening.
We're just trying to get used to 3.
You guys are pretty awesome. I loved your dad on the show too, you know. You got to think about making him a regular now and then, you know.
Oh, thanks. Yeah.
That's what
job.
I was telling Jason. He just fits in perfectly. He's got a great
so.
Voice.
I was surprised. I wish my dad's a cool guy too. But you know, your dad kind of fits in with the style of show you guys are doing. Really liked all his.
Whoops. Oh, we lost.
You know, I was really impressed by all that. And,
just a little dropout.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? That's what the lunchtime show is for. We can have anybody on at any time, and we'll keep doing that. Like, maybe we'll have Steven's uncle on, or your brother.
I think I have like a third or fourth cousin out there. Okay, we can just put him on. Like
yeah, just anybody. We want to have special guests, maybe people, famous people. I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, I think we're going to start doing that. We're going to start testing the phone lines, and maybe... I'm going to subscribe to the IMDb Pro, get some contact information, maybe do some interviews for the lunchtime show, draw the attention to the Friday night show kind of thing.
Yeah, it's basically a launching pad for Nowhere in Mulberry, our Friday show.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, yeah, you guys keep it up, all right?
Is it the same?
I'll look forward to those DVDs when they get here.
All right.
Yeah, just send the information.
All right.
Thanks for calling in, buddy. Thanks for supporting us all this time, too.
Thanks, Don.
Bye-bye.
You know what's great about Don is he was, when we did our original Friday night chats, he would chat with us back then. He's been a listener for a long time. That's really cool to hear from him.
Yeah, that is. I this is really cool to have the phone line. It seems like we're an actual radio show now.
Yeah, we are, man. We're live. We're taking over the world. I'd love to hear from Credo, Mr. Chucklehead in the chat room.
Yeah, did you see the... Did you see the comment he made during the song about yummy, yummy in my belly and all that
stuff?
He
made a Rod Stewart joke.
Yeah, that had me laughing so hard.
I was telling Steven, I go, wow, that's a dated joke. You need to call in and explain yourself, mister. A freaking Rod Stewart joke. That's like elementary school, man.
Yeah, I wonder how that even started. That's like the Richard Gere rumor.
Here's the story. I'll do the rated PG version, PG-13, because I know that my family's listening. And basically, Rod Stewart fainted on stage. They pumped his stomach, and they pumped about 10 gallons of male stuff out of his
Jack
stomach.
Alleged.
Yeah. Didn't you guys weren't going to combat me with the 10-gallon part?
We know you're exaggerating, but yeah.
The story changes every time. Sometimes it's 1 gallon, sometimes it's 2 gallons.
And we forgot to ask Don Chep about Kitchen Nightmares.
Yeah.
So, okay, Kitchen Nightmares, like I told Bill earlier this week that you guys watch Hell's Kitchen. I lose interest in it because I don't watch it every week. But this show, it's like, because
you
get
a whole, yeah, you get a whole episode, and
I don't care about contestants and stuff. This is like encapsulated episodes where it deals with one restaurant at a time.
That was what I was wondering, if how they were going to deal with that. If it was like one episode was going to be a full restaurant, or they were going to do it like, okay, this season's going to be a whole one restaurant cleaning up. Boom, you know what I'm saying? No, I mean, I was just wondering what it was going to be like. I didn't know
the original show from the BBC normally does a restaurant, an episode, and then at the end of the season, he might revisit one or two of the worst to see the progress that they've been doing.
Right. And let me ask you this, Bill, about the British show. Are the people who the restaurant he goes to, are they ever, like, not getting offended at his suggestions? Because does he always run into people like, hey, man, this is my restaurant, I say how it goes? They always get defensive, don't they?
Yeah. Hey, even in Britain, where people are supposed to be nice all the time, they get pissed off.
Hey, you're on the air. What's up?
Hey, this is Credo.
Credo, hey. How's
we
it going,
that
Credo?
Voice.
Jim Credo Lewis on the line in the hizzy. What's up, buddy?
Not much. Okay, for guys practically dare me to call you guys. So.
Yeah, I'm sorry. The Rod Stewart joke, man.
So, yeah, but for Credo to dig that up.
I was dedicating a song to my daughter, and you've got to just... Luckily, she can't read the chat room.
Dirty it up.
You dirty old man, you.
Well, you have to spoil the childhood of everybody.
So how's it going, Credo?
Okay.
All
right.
No, Credo, you do the show, you do Lost in Mulberry, I must tell everybody. If anyone's heard Lost in Mulberry, Credo from Lost in Mulberry, along with Mick McCart. So,
and Eddie Deason.
So are we working on the next episode or what? What's going on?
I have no idea what Mick is up to now. Like, he's got a new girlfriend. She's
Oh, no.
Oh.
We will never hear from Mick again. Yeah, the end of Lost in Mulberry. Wow.
That's it.
What do you think? I mean, is he in love, or is it just early on in the relationship?
Well, it's hard to tell. Like, last time I saw Mick was, like, at church about 3 weeks ago. So, you know, like, he hasn't really caught or anything.
Mick at church?
Yeah.
Now, did he go to church before, or is this girl getting him to go to church?
Well, he's been going to this one church for a couple years now.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
Did he meet the girl at church?
Like, I usually go to his church like once a month on their potluck on the last Saturday of the month.
Right.
That's the best day to go.
Yeah, so I got to buy a bottle of Fresca because, like, nobody else drinks diet stuff here.
Has he given away, like, Lost in Mulberry CDs at church? Like, check this out.
Well, he hasn't, but I've given some away at some flea markets here in Saginaw.
Nice.
Nice.
Getting the word out, right?
We have fans out there that don't even know who we are, yet they listen to the show.
They listen to snippets of the show.
Now, let me ask you this, Credo. The Rod Stewart story, urban legend, or is it true?
Like, I wasn't there, so I can't verify it.
What do you think personally?
Probably like an urban legend.
Right.
I think there are shades of truth.
The same
that.
With the Richard Gere story and all that.
It's no,
all
that's true.
That's true.
That's true.
That's funny.
Poor Tellywinks.
All right, Credo, do you have anything to ask Mulberry Bill while you're here?
Like I have a question. I was planning on buying the new iPod Nano, but although they have the new Sony PSPs that just came out, I was wondering if you guys had any opinions on which one to go with.
Bill, you're pretty savvy.
Are you playing games or listening to music more?
Yeah, basically listening to music on the way down to the VA down in Ann Arbor.
All right, then get the iPod Nano.
Okay.
Because the PSP really isn't a very good MP3 player.
Oh, so it's got the bigger screen where I could actually play some videos on,
Well, if you want the bigger screen, well, then get the iPod Touch.
The new iPod Touch, exactly.
Yeah, the Wi-Fi. That's got internet
access.
It's got
Wi-Fi, too? Yeah, it gets YouTube.
Oh, yeah. Okay, there you go, Credo. You will be able to stream Talk Radio X on the iPod Touch, right, Bill?
Once they upgrade it for iTunes Wi-Fi, you'll be able to. Not right now, because I have the iPhone, and it basically is the iPod Touch with a phone. And you can't do that yet. I tried today.
Oh, I thought you could. Damn.
No.
So you can't can't go to Talk Radio X on the Wi-Fi and then.
No, you
play
can.
Or?
You just can't stream it.
Oh, I gotcha.
Yeah, I would recommend the iPod Touch.
Okay.
Because then you can watch your videos. Because today I was watching the South Park episodes where they bashed Family Guy. On my iPhone, and it's the same as the iPod Touch, but yeah, I really liked it. It has a nice big screen, about the same size as the PSP.
Now, let me ask you this, Credo. Do you like Family Guy?
I'll watch it if it's on.
Are you
exactly?
Season I didn't hear you guys were talking at the same time.
Oh, I'm sorry. Are you a fan of the Family Guy? You'll just watch it if it's on, but you don't like. Ooh, it's coming on.
I actually did buy the DVDs when they first came out.
You bought DVDs of it?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to have to let you go, Credo.
Yeah, but I did wind up selling them on half.com. Afterward.
Good man. My good man.
Bought them used on half.
Yeah. All right, Credo, have a good one.
Okay. I'll talk to you guys later.
Thanks. Bye.
Keep on listening.
Okay, I'll try that.
Kitchen Nightmares.
Very good. Thumbs up. Report next week. Thumbs up.
We'll keep watching it. And when things are fresh on our minds, Steven, if your phone rings at work during the weekdays, it's us on the lunchtime show calling to get your opinion about a certain show. So just say, hey, guys, I got to go to the restroom.
Just my warning to you is if it just keeps ringing, I'm usually in a basement. I usually work in basements in the hospital. I don't get signal. It's weird. So.
Okay.
I'm just saying. I'm just warning you. If it just keeps ringing, I'm not ignoring you.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Sure. He's like, no.
No,
that.
You don't
click.
Understand.
No. As soon as I get out,
it's like my phone just starts chiming with messages. It's like. Okay, you got 15 messages.
You. Bill, this guy's phone rings like every few seconds. It's insane.
And at work, it's...
He's a man in demand.
At work, it's much worse.
All right, guys, let's do the news!
Let's get right to it.
All right, Bill, let's get right to it, like Joey Fat One says.
All right, we're going to keep this news short so we don't run over.
Now, Bill, what happened?
A trio has been jailed for fish bait heroin.
Hey, Bill, can I stop you for a second? All of a sudden you sound weird, like you're away from your mic.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I was like, what the hell's going on?
Sorry about that. Kind of had my mic up above my head.
We service everybody.
Sorry. So a trio was jailed for fish bait heroin. Three people who mixed vinegar with catfish bait and tried to sell it as heroin got hooked by undercover officers. Authorities said the three also tried to sell fake LSD. John Burke, director of Greater Warren County Drug Task Force, said he didn't know what might happen if someone actually injected a bait vinegar concoction.
Just kind of stepped in it there, didn't I?
Authorities don't know whether anyone else bought the counterfeit drug. We've got no reports of anyone else getting them, but quite frankly, the people who may have gotten them aren't likely to report it. William Perry, 22, of Columbus, and Roseanne Weed, 20, of Peak, are pleading guilty Tuesday in Warren County Court to a count of trafficking in counterfeit controlled substance.
Because I'm underage.
Now, I've never smelt heroin, but something tells me it doesn't smell like vinegar and catfish.
That's really weird. What the hell?
I'm going to milk it.
Does it look like vinegar and catfish? I always assumed it came powdered and then you cooked it or whatever.
I've ever seen it on movies. Like movies or on the news, you know, where it...
Bad Lieutenant.
Or you hear it called like the black tar heroin, where I would assume right. It looks like black tar, you
There's
know?
That stuff I keep seeing on the news that says cheese death. There's this stuff called cheese.
Yeah, that's a mix. That's like heroin and methamphetamine.
But I'm always... My mind can't comprehend that there's something called cheese that's a drug because it'll say death by cheese. And I'm like, huh? I always go, what?
It looks like Parmesan cheese.
Somebody got a hold of like some regular, bad cheese.
I think the regular heroin from like the shows, it looks like brown sugar.
Right.
Is that funny, Jason?
That's really weird. Speaking of really weird, this is even more weird. In Berlin, staff at a German butcher shop were shocked to discover a customer had hidden two sex toys in their sausages for transport to Dubai.
How would they stay through?
It was two latex dildos with a natural look, said a spokesman for police in the southwestern city of Mannheim.
Whoa!
after shopping there earlier in the day, the man who spoke broken English returned to the butcher shop with two large Schwarzenegger sausages. He asked the shop assistant to wrap them and cool them until he for Dubai the next day. But the the assistant noticed the goods had got heavier and alerted police. Officers discovered the man, who was about 50, had removed some of the meat and packed the dildos inside.
This is big stuff.
He could have used a loaf of bread. It's not against the law here, but obviously I can't speculate on what customs in Dubai will have to say about it. I think that story speaks for itself, so we'll kind of leave the comments out.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, going through the x-ray machine, it's going to see him anyway, won't it? Well, it's Ethan.
We service everybody.
The sausage has batteries in it.
Oh my god.
That sausage has a large plastic dildo in it. Now, talk about meat packing. police are looking for a man who likes to walk his dogs in the nude.
Dogs? That's sick! Put some clothes on that dog!
Put some clothes on that dog! Have you ever heard of a sweater? Police and Wamongo.
That was Jason trying to put pants on the dog.
Yeah. Well, it's like, no! I like to be free, I'm a naturalist.
the dog's going commando.
Look at that. I can see his change purse. So police in Wamongo, Wisconsin, say they're on the lookout for a nude man who was spotted taking a stroll with two dogs on Monday. Police say the man was seen by a female jogger in the woods of the White Memorial Foundation. Mary Stoll, athletic director at the nearby Wamongo Regional High School said the school's cross-country teams were diverted from the woods where they had been training into White Memorial's museum as a precaution. The suspect is a tall white man with frosted hair who's believed to be in his 30s from
is it
Arlington,
Corey
Texas.
Haim?
Is that Steven?
Steven!
I was pointing at myself when you did that, Bill.
Was it hot Steven out that day, coming. Steven? Is that what it was?
Yes, it was terrible.
You know what? I really just forgot to put my clothes on when I walked out.
You were doing laundry.
The dogs were in a need to go.
You just wanted to get it done.
You know. I had a wash on and didn't have anything to wear.
Not being used to my ability.
Thank you.
Wow.
But anyways, yeah, it was actually a tall white man with thin hair believed to be in his 50s. So maybe it was Harvey Keitel in Bad Lieutenant.
He felt second like Bad Lieutenant reference tonight. This show is gold.
This is because it's just such a great movie. Have you heard they're remaking it?
Huh? With who?
Yeah, exactly. I have no idea.
With DJ Qualls?
Yes. Good word.
That's gold. Gold. That would be great. With Corey Haim? Wow.
The
I'd
new
see
guy.
The Bad Lieutenant with Corey Haim, wouldn't you?
Feldman.
Yeah,
I'm going to go with Feldman.
In Cleveland, Ohio, a large cache of drugs was discovered in a legitimate shipment of Chips Ahoy cookies.
Mmm, yummy.
Really? 634 pounds of marijuana was seized early Friday morning on Cleveland's west side. It represents the second $1 million seizure of marijuana in as many weeks.
Cookies.
Yeah. Police are planning to take ownership of the big rig that had the cookie pot cookies under drug laws. The driver and two others are in custody. Three Hispanic males have addresses in southern Texas. The mayor is praising the officers who a few weeks ago nabbed a shipment of frozen broccoli that also had pot in it.
Have I written you a death threat yet today?
I need to eat my greens.
I don't know. With with all the pot fields they've been finding around here lately, you know, they've held three large caches all around the Dallas area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems like I've heard that Central Ohio is like the ultimate distribution center. Like they bring it up
really
through Texas into Ohio, and then from Ohio it goes, you know, northeast and west. So
there's like two major highways here in Texas, you know, where they kind of cross, and it's like they said, really, it was like literally walking distance off the freeway where there's like, well, about 10 or 13 acres just of pot growing on the side of the highway. It's like, you know, over on by Grand Prairie and all that.
I got you.
So you know where to look out if you want to, you know, stop a truck, get some pot.
Man, I used to drive that all the time.
It'd be funny if they don't do anything about it. They just hide out and wait for people to pull over.
That's what they should have done. I don't know why they didn't do that. They
marijuana
found
is not a drug. I used to suck dick for coke.
Whoa.
But they found, you know, a couple of couple acre fields in other places, you know, and they should have just staked it out, you know. But these, I mean, they were like fully irrigated, you know, and everything. I mean, people spent all this time fixing them up.
Wow. To finish up the story, you know, this week has just had a cornucopia of crazy drug news. A man was charged, a 31-year-old Sheboygan, Wisconsin man, was charged Thursday with several felonies after police said they found 8.2 grams of cocaine in his butt.
Huh? High
five for that.
Thank you.
This guy faces felony charge of possession with intent to deliver, I guess, out of his butt.
You've seen one butt, you've seen them all, you know?
I guess.
Not if it's filled with cocaine.
Crack up.
Crack. So was that crack cocaine? Yeah.
Crack cocaine.
Wow.
They got the porta potties. Yeah.
I think that's the guy right there. Jared is smuggling cocaine into Kid Nation.
Jared from Subway?
No, Jared from Kid Nation.
Oh, gotcha.
So this guy is also facing two felony counts of the manufacture and delivering of cocaine and a misdemeanor charge of possessing the paraphernalia.
How did they find it?
Well, it says this guy was a passenger in a Dodge Durango that was stopped by Sheboygan police after 10 p.m. on Wednesday, and an officer found a crack pipe in the vehicle. So the other passenger told the officer that this guy who had the drugs asked him to go to Milwaukee to get some crack cocaine, and then on the way back...
Hey, dude, crack run! Let's head on down to Milwaukee.
Let's go to Milwaukee and get
five,
some crack.
5, 6, 7, 8, Schlemiel, Schlemazel.
While we're there, we'll get some... What was that beer called? No, it wasn't Pabst.
No.
Schultz?
Schultz?
Shots. Shots Brewery, yeah.
So,
We're gonna do it!
So they shared the crack smoking the pipe while they're driving home. And the passenger also told the officer that he thought the guy was hiding some something else in his pants.
I'm just going to sit here drooling over my boxers.
In the police holding cell, the officers told the guy to bend over, and he began to wiggle, causing a plastic bag to fall into his underwear.
On your knees.
Yeah. So, the cocaine was inside the bag, and... How'd that get there? Oh, my! It's a miracle birth! So, yeah, he crammed a bag of cocaine up his, you know...
I might not have a PhD in stupid like you do, but I'm going to tell you right now, this is going to turn out badly.
Yeah, that did.
That never turns out well when you're like, I'm going to stick this in an orifice. No one's going to find it.
Yeah, it depends on what orifice you shove it in.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
If you think about it, most of it's traveled into this country in somebody's body cavity.
Yeah.
Yeah, drug mules.
Makes me want to...
All right, Bill, what else we got?
I think we should probably end news on that note.
All right. Why? It's just such a classy subject.
Well, you know, you can't get better than butt smuggling cocaine.
Exactly, Bill.
Crack up.
Let's go ahead and get in some DVDs.
Is it DVD time?
Let's do some DVDs.
DVDs! Oh, hell yeah, everybody, the DVDs!
I don't know, to be honest with you.
Huh?
I haven't... I mean, it's... I... Or no, it's funny because,
is Obert just looking at her watch?
No, that's the guy trying to explain how the cocaine came to rest in his anus.
All right, Bill, we got some awesome DVDs this week.
I don't know about awesome, but we do have some.
All right,
Let's
what do we
start
got?
Start it off with, you know, when I think 30,000 Leagues Under the Sea... You know, I think, you know, Jules Verne, Disney, classic.
Oh, of course.
What I don't think is Lorenzo Lamas. So maybe we need to change our outlook of the film because...
They got 30... the porta potties! Yeah! Yeah!
That's where this one belongs. 30,000 Leagues Under the Sea
30,
starring Lorenzo...
30,000 Leagues?
Yeah.
Not 20.
No, 30,000. I think they had to add 10,000.
Can I ask you, is that Indian guy from Renegade with him?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Too bad.
I know.
That's a great thing.
Yeah, I'm not sure what to think of this. Should I see it? Should I not?
You know what? How has the Sci-Fi Network not shown this?
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe they already showed it and we didn't get to see it.
Dang, we missed it.
It might be one of those TBS Sci-Fi at Nights or something.
Mm-hmm. Maybe.
You know, I would definitely... Let me ask you this. Who directed it?
Are you serious? Does it really matter?
I mean, come on. If, like, Mick G or Craig Baxley or...
Well, Craig Baxley,
John Gulager, something like that. I mean, it all takes place on a submarine, right? How bad
can it
be?
John Gulager. No, I think it actually takes place on a ship.
On a ship? It's got to be underwater. Yeah. Come on.
Well, I think they're referring to the octopi.
But if it's 30,000 leagues under the sea, you don't have to worry about it. It's not going to come near you.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
I'm intrigued. I gotta see how this happens.
The director is Gabriel Bologna.
That sounds like a fake name
here.
To me.
No. B-O-L-O-G-N-A. That is Bologna.
It's like the actor Joseph Bologna. Maybe it's Bologna.
No, that's Bologna. Hey, Mr. Bologna.
Hey, that's better than Wiper.
Is that
from
like
last
John
week.
Smithy, kind of a fake name?
Yeah.
I would hope so. I would seriously hope so.
Crack
but it's got some, I think, it sadly, it's got Lorenzo Lamas, and that's the biggest name in the entire thing.
Nice.
So, yeah. I am definitely going to put it on my TiVo. I need to laugh. And speaking of laughs... If you didn't quite think Alone in the Dark theatrical cut was good enough...
Ah, you a mole, right?
Yeah, you might want to pick up Alone in the Dark unrated director's cut.
Oh my god.
Mm-hmm. There's a boxing scene in it.
Is there?
What is that, some kind of YouTube video where he's boxing or something?
Yeah.
He fights critics.
Do you mole, by the way, Bill?
I do. I have a... I can score a 90... But I've never broken 100. What about you?
I haven't bowled for a while, but I've been meaning to.
Great. What about you, Steven? Do you...
I used to bowl. Okay. But not anymore.
So, yeah, this is the director's cut. Christian Slater, Tara Reid.
Struggling.
Yeah.
That's really, really awful.
Wow. Maybe they sell. Is that?
I can't say that they would.
Come on.
There's some U-Bowl fans out there.
I don't know who they are. I guess, you know, they're watching for train wreck ability. Like House of the Dead.
Yeah.
There are parts where I laugh. Like there's a part where they're trying to get away from the zombies, which zombie makeup is horrible, but the guy's pulling the chick in the window. For some reason, the zombie picks up an axe, and when he pulls her in, her legs are missing, so the zombie chopped her legs off real fast.
And also, doesn't that have the girl from Smallville pre-boob job in it?
Yeah, it does. For some reason.
And she didn't have a boob job, by the way. They must have just magically grew.
Well, you know, so she went through a growth spurt.
Yeah, right. I love that excuse.
And we just got a Walmart. All right.
All right.
All right. Anybody who liked Babel and doesn't own, or Babel and doesn't own the first DVD or the copies on high def format, there's a 2-disc Paramount Vintage 2-disc collector's edition.
Really? Yeah, now.
It's a mouthful. So if you didn't, you know, see enough, why not pick up a 2-disc collection? Because
I haven't seen it yet, Bill.
There's nothing more I would rather do than sit down for 2.5 hours, get horribly depressed, and then watch the special features.
Let's get right to it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a depressing movie, right? But is it a great movie?
No, it's not a great movie by any means, but it is a good movie.
It's a series of different stories, right?
No, it's all... Well, it's different stories, but they're all interconnected. Kind of like you know, like Amoros Peros and Pulp Fiction and all,
okay.
You know. It's,
I gotcha.
Next, I want to mention the best of the Cosby Show, because if without
Jell-O
the Cosby
pudding
show,
pops. Sorry, that's without, all I got.
Without the Cosby Show, we wouldn't have Lisa Bonet.
Keisha Knight Pulliam or Tempest yes. Bledsoe.
Or Malcolm Jamal Warner.
Yeah, damn, I couldn't come up with that one.
Theo! Yeah, I actually watched The Cosby Show.
You know?
Everyone in the country watched that show. That was like the number one show forever.
Yeah, but I could give a crap about the best of it.
And we talked about this a long time ago on the show, I'm sure, where they would do the episodes where the whole family would play a record and they'd all lip sync to the song while the grandparents watched because it was their anniversary.
They always did.
Or something.
That was a present.
Yeah. And
that
then
was...
Rudy would come in, she would do the deep voice, and it was hilarious. Yeah. I wanted to blow my brains out on those episodes. So that's what I feel. Are those on the best of?
I bet
Bill?
You they are.
Well, those are some of the best.
Jeez. I don't think I'm going to be...
Jason, all right. No. Yeah, there's blood everywhere. Now he has to clean it. Next film is Paul Verhoeven's Black Book. It's his German film that he made in the Netherlands about a Jewish girl who conceals her Jewishiness. And,
is that the correct way to say that?
Yes, it is. And gets into a love affair with a Nazi, and they can't, you know, decide what they're going to do.
Forbidden love.
Yes.
Well, how does it feel, Jason?
Huh?
Feels great, I guess.
Now, I've heard that this is actually Paul Verhoeven's return to form.
It is. He's coming back. It's not a great movie. But it is good. It's very
better than his last five, maybe.
It's very sexual, like most of his movies are. But it's sexual to the point where it's almost degrading to the woman. So it kind
of
turns.
All his films are.
Well, this one particularly,
like that scene in Hollow Man where the invisible guy decides to rape a woman or whatever. All of his movies are degrading.
They are.
What's the word I'm thinking of?
Misogynistic.
Yeah, that's it. Bing, ding, 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 ding.
Next film is a film that got really good word of mouth.
We service everybody.
From William Friedkin called Bug.
Oh, man, that movie looked... That wasn't a movie I wanted to see.
But it got really great reviews.
It looked tripped out to me, man.
It says it's very disturbing and one of possibly his best film. So...
Have you seen it, Bill, you said?
No, I haven't because I think I've got the same feeling as you, like... I know people are saying it's good, but
whenever anyone
just...
says, the entire film takes place in one place, and it feels claustrophobic, I'm like, yeah, I don't want to see that.
Yeah,
it's
I'm
not a selling point for me.
I like to get out in the outdoors, like, the hills are alive! Steven.
Okay.
Steven's throwing up in the background. Sorry, Steven.
Sorry. Little cough fit.
Cujo 25th Anniversary Edition.
Wow. Yes!
Someone's really excited about Cujo.
That's a crazy flick, man.
That is a crazy flick. So I can't believe it's the 25th Anniversary Edition. That's insanity.
Is that kid like in his 60s now?
Danny Pintaro.
Is that who it was?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh. Does he still work at The Gap? what was that, early 90s? There's a story of him working at The Gap. He's probably
made manager. I thought it was Banana Republic, but maybe it's Gap.
Stay out of my closet.
No, he's already out of the closet.
Okay.
Everyone loves the 200-pound St. Bernard named Cujo, but he doesn't love everyone else.
Right, especially bats who bite his nose.
I just have a problem here.
That wasn't a very good movie, was it?
Not that I can remember.
You know, I believe I've only seen the movie once when it came out in the theater.
I can say I just saw it probably within the past 2 months.
Really?
Really? Where'd you see it at?
On TV. It was just a,
TBS some Saturday afternoon.
Lots of commercial breaks.
Yeah.
But how great was D. Wallace Stone?
D. Wallace Stone.
Or is she D. Wallace now? Probably divorced. But she is a great actor. She was great in The Frighteners.
Mm-hmm.
She's always good.
Love The Frighteners.
Yeah, she was always... I always liked her in those little scare-type movies.
I'm trying to think of other ones. She's been in a million of them. She was that go-to actress.
What was the Howling?
Yeah, The Howling. Oh my God, it's Cujo, Steven!
I like when she turned into the little cute wolf on screen.
Oh, yeah. Just this adorable wolf. And then
she's so cute. Just like,
yeah. That was a good ending to that movie that otherwise...
sucked.
Put it so plainly.
Hey, how do you sum it up, Steven? How'd you feel about it? All right, Bill, what else we got?
Knocked Up, extended and unrated edition. I love Knocked Up. It was a great film. Really,
it's hilarious.
Really good film.
You know what the movie works especially? I mean, there's the baby stuff, but whenever he's around his roommates, I swear, it was 5 minutes in, and I was like, if this goes on, I'm going to have a heart attack because I was crying. Yeah. Like, remember, there's the one guy who they dare not to cut his hair or shave forever. And one guy goes, hey, coked up Scorsese. And I freaking lost it. And I was like, I can't go on.
They call him the Unabomber.
Yeah, they call him all these names in the span of a few minutes. And when they called him coked up Scorsese, I lost it. I was like, I got to leave. I can't sit through this whole movie because I'm going to drop dead in the theater because I was laughing so hard.
And the pink eye bit, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, you get the pink eye, too. No.
Do not. Oh, he goes, I'm just high. And then later on, they're at the strip club, and the stripper's sticking her butt in Paul Rudd's face. He goes, that's how you get pink eye. God, that was great. I'm buying this on HD DVD, Bill. That's coming out, right?
Yeah, it is. Same time this Tuesday.
Sweet. Hey, does Blu-ray get that, by the way?
No.
Oh, too bad. Swanee will be very upset over that.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, I forgot to mention Dr. Giggles.
Ooh. So,
if you like Larry Drake.
Benny.
He's brilliant in that movie.
He is?
In the Dr. Giggles. I saw that movie in the theater with my dad. My dad was like, you want to go see Dr. Giggles? Oh, and by the way, Bill, do you remember my dad was telling me that he was trying to get me to see a movie, and he kept saying Darkman, and I said, there's no way, you're wrong.
Yeah.
He was thinking of Evil Dead 2.
Oh, really?
He was trying to get me to see it, and I was like, I'm not going to go see that, being the film snob that I am. And then later on, when I saw it on VHS, I was like, should have gone to see it.
I was a lucky one and saw it in the theater.
Did you see my dad there?
I think we sat like
he was all
a
alone.
Row apart.
He was like, where's Jason? He didn't want to see it. I missed out.
You certainly did. You should be ashamed of yourself.
Let's get right to it.
And speaking of next is next.
That's the movie where Nick Cage has a stupid haircut.
Yes. And he can see into the future.
Wow. He can see in the next, what, like 12 seconds in the future or something?
You know what? I really don't know, and I really don't care. So... Next.
Now that's, you know what? Netflix rental. I'll go ahead and check it out.
All right.
It's got Jessica Biel in it, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And on the cover, you would have thought she had like triple D breasts.
Triple D? They're like, we got to sell this. What are we going to do? He's got a horrible haircut. Photoshop her breasts. Make them bigger. That'll sell it.
You know what's funny is on the cover, you don't see his hair at all. It's just his face.
See, they knew that no one would see it. They should have CGI erased that hairstyle. Just make him bald.
I don't even know.
That's what they did.
I'm going to have to watch
it. Did you guys know that? The new Die Hard, how John McClane's bald? His hair looks so stupid, they had to CGI erase the hair off his head.
Wow. That's interesting.
You know?
It's a complete and total lie, but I tried to pass it off.
That's what I thought. I know how much you guys really love Robert Klein, the comedian.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And if you truly love him, then you'll want to pick up this DVD set that has all of his eight HBO specials from 1975 to 2005.
So is that longer than the war documentary?
No, it's actually shorter. It's like 45 minutes long.
No, actually, this set is 400 minutes shorter than the war, but it feels longer. I cannot believe that people would actually buy a 500-minute set.
It's either him or the what's the other guy, the Richard Little.
Rich Little.
Yeah,
Rich Little.
Rich Little is actually better than Robert Klein.
Rich Little doing his Nixon impressions for a couple hours.
Why don't they release not necessarily the news?
Hell yeah, like, I would watch that.
Rich, I love those bits that Rich Hall would do, like Sniglets.
Sniglets, yeah.
You know what? I was thinking about Sniglets the other day because my daughter always has Cheeto dust on her fingers, and there was a Sniglet for what that was mm-hmm. called, and I always think of Sniglets when I have to clean her fingers off.
I could tell you because I actually have Sniglets, the board game. I have every Sniglet book that was released. I have all those little Sniglet bits on VHS. I loved Sniglets. I was a Sniglet nut.
I had the first Sniglet book, Brobophobia, Fear That Your Brother Is Gay. That's the one that just sticks in my head.
That's awesome.
Oh, Brobophobia.
Brobophobia.
I like that. That's awesome. Because I remember if you would send in your Sniglet, you would get I made a Sniglet t-shirt or something.
Something like that, yeah.
And he would go on like Letterman and talk about some... He would have new Sniglet... He's living off the fat
there
of
the were,
Sniglets right
there
now.
There were volumes of the Sniglet books.
Yeah.
And I don't... How many volumes are there, Bill? Probably 10 or 12 at least?
Yeah, there are. There are a lot of them.
Hey, Antubert wants to talk to us. He said he met Rich Hall in person.
Oh, cool.
Hello, Antubert.
Hey, guys. Great show.
We'd like to hear the Antubert anecdote.
Okay, I'll try to make this as quick as possible. I was managing a comedy club in upstate New York at the time, and we had Rich Hall one weekend. And he was a pretty big star, and we made all the preparations. And when he got there, I had to pick him up from the airport and bring him to the hotel. And the biggest – he had a little carry-on bag, but he had this big, gigantic keyboard bag. So I said, oh, you play keyboards? Like, oh yeah, that's what I'm really into, man. I'm really into keyboards. F comedy. I hate comedy. I like jazz. Like, oh, that's cool. So we got to be friendly. We had dinner over the weekend a couple times. And basically, I'll sum it up like this. He hates Sniglets. He hates when the audience asks him to do Sniglets. He says Sniglets are like my Lola, you know, if I was Clapton.
Wow.
Layla. He says, you know, it's like one stupid bit I thought up on a drunk weekend, and like for the rest of my life, people want to bother me with Sniglets.
That's funny.
He should be proud of
Sniglets. That's all I remember from the guy.
Yeah, right. He would hate that if you said that.
I go, hey, the Sniglet guy. He'd go, God, if I had a gun.
Right. I'm a jazz musician, too. I put out albums.
That's why he moved to the United Kingdom and started that Otis Lee Crenshaw, where he acted like he was a country music singer, and that was like his whole new character.
That's right.
He's a very, very miserable, miserable man.
But
he's very depressed.
Is he rich from the Sniglets now?
No.
If he's doing comedy clubs for $1,000 a weekend, he ain't rich.
Wow, he needs to go back to the Sniglets then.
Yeah.
I just remember really liking the guy on like Fridays, and not necessarily the news was hilarious. I loved that show.
Did you, Antebert, like before he told you that about Sniglets, had you suggested any Sniglets to him?
No, because I wouldn't really get into the comics act. You know, they're very different off stage than they are on stage.
And a lot of times they don't want to talk about it, right?
No, they don't. They don't want to talk about anything else.
Because they're not at work.
No. But they do ask you, like, they'll ask you a bunch of questions about the location, like what's the bad part of town, or where did the Hicks live, and then they
can incorporate it.
Exactly.
I have this book, and I'm trying to remember it. It's in my bathroom, Steven. You might have seen it. It's a book of crazy stories from stand-up comics. It's right. All of their crazy anecdotes, like you wouldn't believe that this really happened stories. And it's a really good book, and I wish I could remember, but I'd have to run to the bathroom. So
I smoked pot with Skippy once.
Skippy?
Really?
Oh.
Yeah.
You know, I have one of my favorite films from my childhood was The Killer Tomatoes Eat France. And he appeared in that.
Mark
in
fact, Price?
Mark Price. There was a scene where he's standing in France and someone says, "Hey, look, Michael J. Fox." And this little French kid goes, "Hey, look like Skippy to me." And I just thought it was the funniest thing ever, so I bought it. And I still have it to this day. I need to pull stuff from that. Did he ever mention Killer Tomatoes Eat France?
No, but he's
really?
A very, very sad, desperate human being.
That's too bad.
Like, when you first meet him, I knew on a little more personal level because he was roommates with another comic friend of mine for a while. So I hung out with Skippy a lot, and I also actually worked with Skippy in comedy clubs when I was performing this puppet thing. And I was a sort of kind of on tour with Skippy and Emmanuel Lewis Webster.
Really?
Nice. Yeah.
Nice. We got to hear more about this puppet thing later.
Yeah. Were you like the original Otto and George?
No, but I'll tell you this. I was a very good. Let's put it this way. I was pretty good friends with the guy who went on to do the insult dog.
Robert Smigel.
Smigel.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
My puppet was the host for a small comedy room in New York City. It's really more like a coffee shop. But a lot of folks would come in and do their set and practice their stuff, and he was in every week, along with Judah Friedlander and a bunch of guys at that time.
Wow.
Sweet.
Antebert whipping out the names, man.
Yeah. So I like to remind folks once in a while.
Now, Antebert, is it okay if we go over a little tonight?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, it would be much appreciated. I'm still working on the broadcast server, and after you guys go on, I have to scramble to figure out how to play something else.
Oh, okay. So we'll just keep killing time.
You're actually doing a service for Talk Radio X.
Oh, we hear that, Bill? More DVDs.
I guess I'm going to have to dig some up. Well, maybe I should go get my Sniglets book.
Yeah. Let's have Rich Hall and go, no, seriously, what, any new Sniglets?
Oh, my God, that would be hilarious.
We hear a gunshot in the background.
You know who the biggest bastard in the world is? This Richard Lewis guy.
Oh, yeah?
What a prick.
What I thought was hilarious was a couple years ago, he went on Howard Stern, and Howard had a bottle of champagne there because in Richard Lewis's book, he said he was an alcoholic and all he would drink was champagne.
Ah.
So Howard had this gigantic one of those, they call them those magnum bottles of champagne, just sitting there next to the couch or where Richard Lewis was, and he just was so pissed off that he just walked out on the show.
Really?
Yeah. He seemed like such a smug prick.
Let me tell you what this prick did to me. This is going back again when I was managing a comedy club. And we had Richard Lewis, big, big name, right? So he sends over the contract. His people send over the contract. It's got the normal writers. And now he's giving a list of things that he expects when he comes to the comedy club. He wants a private green room. He wants a bowl of fresh salad. He wants three bottles of Evian water, whatever it was. He wants a bowl of cut fruit.
Good Lord.
And he wants a baby grand piano on the stage tuned. So I said, wow.
Does he even play the piano?
Yeah.
I'm like, he's going to be doing some kind of an act or bringing someone with him or lounge singing or something. So I call up the local piano shop, get them to do things, pay a little extra money so I can get them to get somebody to deliver it. So on a rental basis, then I had to hire a separate guy, an old guy, to come and tune it. And I opened up the, you know, I'm wasting all kinds of time and money. And Richard Lewis comes to the club, have all this stuff there. He didn't touch the water, didn't touch the salad, didn't touch the fruit or anything that we had for him there. Like one of the girls that worked at the comedy club, like, especially went to the grocery store. You know, we didn't know what we were doing. She cut up all these cantaloupes. You know, bought the big thing. She set up everything. She was working all day on it. Didn't even look at it. Got on stage, coked out of his mind. Proceeded to do one of the worst comedy acts I've ever seen. So bad, in fact, that people were walking out of the comedy club. And being the manager of the comedy club, my job was to, you know, help business, help the customers. So I would run out to the parking lot as these hordes of people were leaving the room and giving them free passes to next week's show. So now I'm losing money.
Good Lord.
And to boot, do you know what he did with the piano?
Nothing.
He urinated on it?
He took out it looked like a map. But it was really made of all little pieces of notebook paper and napkins, all scotch taped together. And these were his notes, like, I guess, observations he's had. And then instead of typing them up, he just taped them all together onto this gigantic map-sized paper. And he rested that on the baby grand piano. He never even went over to the keyboard side.
What a dick. Is he just insane, I guess?
What a friggin' prick this guy.
What about any Jimmy Fallon stories?
Oh, don't. Oh, come on.
I bet it was Radio Dan told me to ask that.
That bastard.
I was like, I gotta ask. I want to know why he's saying Jimmy Fallon, so.
You don't even want me to get started.
I think we need to do an entire show where we just interview Antebird about comedy club people.
But still, that movie Taxi with Queen Latifah was pretty good, right?
Let me tell you something. My whole goal in life is to eventually retire and take my 401k money and open up a comedy club in New York again. And I would like to book Jimmy Fallon. And then when he shows up, just a – no, I'm sorry. I'm going to pass. I bumped you. Eventually, he's going to be a washed-up comic.
Right. I've never liked the guy. He's not funny.
The funniest bit he ever did that I saw on Saturday Night Live was him just doing a Boston accent. And even that got old after about a minute.
He stole the whole Adam Sandler guitar bit, I thought.
Yeah.
That's how he started. I started his career. You could say that. I'm not saying I'm responsible for his success, but I'm saying I gave him his first job. I coached him. I was friends with him and his family, his mom and dad, very family-oriented relationship. When he started, he just did those song parodies.
Right.
Brought his little amp up on stage. I gave him his first hosting job. We developed his act, and I gave him his first middle position, which is like the 25 spot before the headliner.
Wait a second. Are you indirectly responsible for Taxi with Queen Latifah?
You're to blame.
Damn you.
Yes, in a very abstract way, yes.
So I
knew there was someone to blame.
So what happened? There was a falling out, or
no? This was happening while I was managing this other comedy club. You know, I was booking rooms, managing comics, and managing this comedy club all at the same time. So, you know, I covered all bases basically, and that's when I forged this relationship with Jimmy Fallon. In the booking agency, I found his tape in a pile of folks that send in their videotapes. And I decided to give him a shot. I saw something there. And about after about a year and a half of this development, he said, listen, Tony, I'm going to move to California. I have some opportunities and some friends out there. I want to get used to the West Coast rooms, work on that a little bit. I'm like, hey, God bless you. He said, listen, I can't thank you enough for all you've done for me. You've really launched my career. If it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be working in rooms. And now, you know, all I could say is thank you so much. And if you ever need anything from me, all you got to do is ask. You're like family. Yes. All right, Jimmy. Cool. I'm really proud of him. Go ahead. So subsequently, in a couple of years after that, I opened my own comedy club. And, well, I had the misfortune of having the grand opening of my comedy club on September 7th, 2001.
Oh.
We had a great weekend. The first weekend.
Right.
And, of course, they, you know, drove the airplanes in the buildings. And nobody was really too much interested in comedy for a while after that.
Yeah.
So needless to say, it was a struggle. And all comedy club owners in the New York area experienced this. Very hard to get people in after a big tragedy like that. So I'm scrambling, calling in favors, trying to get people to work for the door money, having benefits. It's really a struggle to keep this thing afloat. And so I decided to call on Jimmy Fallon because he, at the time, at that point, he came back to New York and was starring in Saturday Night Live. So I contacted him, and in so many words, he said, I'm really sorry, Tony, my agency will not allow me to do certain venues, which is code for I'm really too big to do that room now.
Really?
And yeah. And it was like basically in the next town over from his hometown, I was going to arrange it so that, you know, I was going to put him up at a hotel, you know, near his family. I was going to do everything for the guy. And it probably would have made a big difference in getting people to the club.
Sure.
But, oh, yeah.
That sucks.
So I became bitter and subsequently had to give up the comedy club and get a like a regular job, which was horrible, like a technician on these machines, winding up now. And after like 2 weeks of working at this basically a factory-type environment, second shift, drove home, got home about midnight one night, turned on the TV, and I see Jimmy Fallon in an advertisement for Saturday Night Live making out with Charlize Theron. And at that moment, I decided to become bitter and evil against Jimmy Fallon.
I think anyone that saw anyone making out with Charlize Theron would be bitter towards him. But that sucks.
Yeah. Wow.
Who would have known it ran so deep?
There's got to be a Sniglet for that.
Ah!
Back to the Sniglet!
He gets again.
Well, thanks, Antibert. Thanks for visiting
Thank
us
you.
Here in Mulberry.
Thank you for letting me vent. I feel a lot better.
That was awesome, man.
Yeah, we need more stories. Those were great.
What's weird is I never would think to ask anyone if they knew Jimmy Fallon. So we got to thank Radio Dan for that.
Maybe he's got some other great stories like that we can grill him about.
We need to do like a weekly Antibert segment.
That's awesome, though. There's no way I would ever know that Rich Hall hated the Sniglets, though.
You would think that he would truly appreciate that for it being his, you know, his money.
No, Antibert, let me ask you this. Are most comics really miserable?
Yes. Most.
That
80,
sucks.
80%. 85%.
That really well,
look
blows.
Look at Richard Jenny, who dealt with depression for so long and finally just, you know, called it quits.
The platypus, man.
I mean, you would never think that by some of his comedy, seeing the way he worked a room, you know, and then just you know, be that miserable off stage. It's incredible to me.
Well, you have to understand, a lot of comedy comes from pain and dysfunction. It's just a way of turning this pain and dysfunction into comedy. That's how they deal
with it. Oh, yeah, believe me, I know that.
And, you know, so, but, you know, with all the comedy, you have to remember most of these people are very disturbed.
Right.
You know, in real life. So, you know, most of them, through the outlet of creativity through comedy, they're able to keep a balance, but, you know, some of them don't.
Hmm. Wow. I still like Sniglets.
And by the way, the orange residue left on fingers after eating Cheetos is Cheetle.
Yeah. Cheetle! Now I'm going to say that to my daughter. I got a little bit of Cheetle on your fingers. Let's clean that off.
And when you open up a paper milk carton from the wrong side, that's called lactomangulation.
Nice.
See, everybody's got their favorites.
Sweet.
That's so fun. They're so funny, though. I mean, how can you not laugh at a Sniglet?
Damn it. It's like when I found out Sir Alec Guinness hated anyone approaching him about Star Wars. It's just sad when you find that out, you know?
Right.
It's just a bummer.
Or you could be like Shatner and do the flip-flop every couple of years, you know?
Yeah. You hate Star Trek. You love it again.
Right.
All right, Bill, let's wrap up DVD so my wife can come home.
Well, actually, right, we only have one left.
Oh, okay. So. Thanks, Antebert. Right.
Thank you. I'll talk to you again. Bye.
Bye. Yeah.
Bye.
Special guest, Antebert.
That was cool.
That's
that
good
was
stories.
Awesome.
Yeah,
stories,
nice.
Man. I love this. We got phone calls. We got guests. This is awesome.
We're an actual show. So, yeah, we're going to end it on Suspiria, a two-disc special edition that Blue Underground, which is a great independent DVD producer.
I have always heard about this movie, but I have no idea what it is.
Really?
Yeah.
It's got let me see if I can explain it. So it's this chick that's a ballet dancer. And she goes to this dance academy in Europe.
That's Flash Dance.
What?
Flash.
What? So then, like, weird shit starts happening. And, you know, there's a murder. And the school's turned into, like, crazy killing hell type place. And it's really, it's pretty vicious.
Really? I mean, is it, like, gory?
Oh, very. Please.
Like, one of the
I would have to
ever?
Say it's one of the goriest films I've ever seen.
Man. Okay. You're selling
like,
me.
When you're watching it, like, there's, like, this one scene where there's a murder, and it just is, wow. Probably the most violent and, like, gory I'd ever seen on...
That's not appropriate.
I don't give a...
I say even more gory than what's our favorite one?
What? Dead Alive?
Dead Alive?
Wow!
That's kind of
close.
That's kind of comic gory.
But, I mean, come on, there's some good.
You know, there's.
My
you
favorite
know the part
is.
In Dead Alive is when.
My favorite is when he's got the mower up, and it's just like they're just throwing the buckets of blood on
See,
him.
See, I can handle gore, but I can't handle gross. Like, remember the part where he eats the ear and spits out the earring?
Yeah.
I got nauseous by that. Yeah. So, I mean, will I get nauseous watching this, Bill?
Probably a little nauseous and a little uncomfortable.
Oh, okay.
That's really...
Jesus, what's going
on? Sorry about that, Donald.
I think Foggy's falling asleep back there.
Yeah, so that's DVDs for September 28th. 2007.
I'll come put a pillow over your face.
Please, I need it at this point.
Well, thanks, Bill. Thanks for doing the DVDs. And I can't wait to buy next. With that stupid haircut. God.
How did they greenlit
a movie for Nicolas Cage's hair? Now, I'm ruining it for everybody. You can't take your eyes off
his
hair.
I've got to go look it up.
Thank you. Good night. Here all week. Try the veal. And see.
All right, everybody. That was our 94th episode of Nowhere Mulberry. And Steven, here's a quiz. What number of live shows have we done now of Nowhere Mulberry?
Five, I believe.
Four official Nowhere Mulberries, right, Bill? I could be wrong.
I'm like zoning out trying to think.
We started on 90. We started on 90, I believe.
Yeah.
Yes, I was thinking, counting in my head. See, because we've done three live shows, and that has completely thrown me off. We filled in for the live test show, then we did 90.
See, that's where I was counting the other one when we filled in.
So we've done four episodes of Nowhere in Mulberry, and we've had call-ins for the first time. How sweet was that?
Nice. Thanks.
We got to
callers.
Talk to John Chep, my wife, and Credo. We've got to talk to Antibert with very interesting stories
about comedians.
It's also depressing, though, too, that all those guys are so miserable. But if you'd like to call and leave a voicemail, we still accept voicemail. You can either call our new station number. It has a voicemail at 818-935-5132. Or call 1-206-202-3491. Is that confusing enough for you?
All this will be posted somewhere.
Yeah, if you go to nowhereinmulberry.com, go to nowhereinmulberry.com, you'll see our voicemail right there posted, the number. Also go to nimpodcast@gmail.com and email us, which we received quite a bit of emails this week, Bill. Some about Family Guy, but also saying they love us. You know, it's the same thing. Steven, you and I can disagree on stuff, or me and Bill, but we're still friends. We're still buddies, right?
Yeah, sure. I mean, like I said, you don't care for Family Guy. I say I like it. All right. I'm not in love with it by any means.
I love King of the Hill. I love The Simpsons. I love Futurama.
I love King of the Hill.
What's that one show on? You guys are like, ooh, huge fan. The Venture Brothers. That's a great
Venture
show.
Venture Brothers. What? Yeah.
It's hilarious.
Yeah, I like watching
it's
that.
It's just Family Guy doesn't do it for me. I picture Seth MacFarlane as that guy who's just trying too hard.
Well, yeah, is it really Seth? Or is, I mean, it's the writers
it doesn't
who
matter.
Taken it over.
It says Seth MacFarlane's Family
production.
Guy.
Yeah.
Didn't it used to say that? So it's his fault no matter what. Right?
Well, I mean, he came up with the characters. He came up with probably the first few storylines.
And he loves the shit out of Ferris Bueller's Day Off, apparently.
Oh, God.
But next week, we're going to talk about the premiere of Heroes. Bill, are you going to watch it this season, or are you out?
I'll watch it.
It's really back, isn't it?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
It seems like
it's
a long time.
It's time.
Now, here's what I'm hoping. The finale will probably suck this year, but leading up to it will be pretty entertaining, right?
Well, yeah, you know what? Maybe they developed a nice storyline. They really didn't have...
They painted themselves in the corner, but hey, Kristen Bell's on this season. That's why I'm tuning in.
Yes, I can't wait to see what comes of the hero in feudal Japan story.
How long are we going to be like, can he just come back to normal time? I'm sick of this.
Probably almost immediately.
Well, you know, what he's going to do is learn swordplay there.
He already did in 5 minutes with his dad, remember, in the finale? He learned all these cool sword moves. And then all he does is run Siler through, and he didn't need any sword move. He didn't need to train. All you had to do was run into him. Okay.
Welcome to the conundrum of heroes.
But let's, guessing game. Kristen Bell's powers will be what?
She'll do something magnificent with the mole she has.
Super
next
hearing.
To her eye.
Super hearing?
No, they've already done super hearing. Remember
super
that lady?
Super sight.
Super sight.
Super sight, maybe.
Maybe it'll be something really...
Super hot.
Maybe she has a bad personality. Oh, wait, they've done that. To death. Who knows? We'll tune in to find out. Right. I got it.
I'm so excited.
Also, don't forget to go to Nowhere Mulberry's new MySpace page. Sellout page. And if you want to be our friend, please be our friends. Oh, God, we need
friends,
Bill. Right?
Yeah, we don't have enough.
All right, we're out of here. This is an extra long show. We're exhausted. Have a good one. See you on the lunchtime show, noon central, on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. Good night, Steven.
Good night.
Good night, Bill.
Good night, Steven. Good night, John Boy.
Steven, man, he was exhausted, the little guy. He's out. Thanks, everybody, at nimchat.com. Thanks for visiting us tonight.
Thank you. Thanks for hanging in there.
We love you.
Hey, Don Chip, Friday Night Lights, it's in the mail.
Just send the email.
Good night, everybody. And I'm hungry.
I don't know, to be honest with you. It's funny because
Now this is podcasting.